Hello, everyone. Welcome to another exciting new episode of Brown Eyed Unicorn. I'm your host, Hannah Brown. Welcome back. How are we all doing? Another week of quarantine in the fucking can. I hope you're all doing well. This week for me was way less anxiety inducing than last week. I can't say why. I just think we're all going to have major ebbs and flows with this. But, you know, we're all doing the best we can. So this week's episode is really exciting. It's a little bit lengthy for me, I have to say, because I had a guest this week for part of it. So before we get into the episode, I do really quick want to say, if you don't follow me already, follow me at Hannah A. Brown on Instagram and Twitter. Also, please, if you're liking the show, head on over to iTunes and leave Brown Eyed Unicorn a rating and a review. It's really helpful. All my reviews got deleted recently. Long story, but I really appreciate your feedback, positive or negative, just be honest. And that'd be cool. Also, I guested on Megan O'Donnell's podcast called Bravo Happy Hour. It is a fantastic Bravo podcast. Megan is so on her shit. She literally knows like everything about everything when it comes to Bravo. And I had such a blast talking to her about recent events in the Bravo universe. So check that out. And if you just can't get enough of me, head on over to patreon.com/brown-eyed-unicorn. Just $5 a month gets you access to all the bonus episodes. I recapped the only season of Pretty Wild. I'm currently recapping Real Housewives of New York. Sometimes I like write things in there. It's super fun. It's super chill. So check that out. Patreon.com/brown-eyed-unicorn if you're interested. So this episode's a little bit different. I'm going to be recapping Roni by myself at the end. But this week, I just really wanted like a fun friend to bounce ideas off of when it came to Vanderpump Rules and Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And I couldn't think of anyone better than my friend Ashley Allen. She is so hilarious. She's an actress. She's a friend of the pod. I love her. And she's a huge Bravo enthusiast. So I thought she was the perfect person to kiki with about this week's episode of VPR and Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. So y'all are going to love her. The episode starts with that conversation with her. And then after that, I'm going to be recapping Roni by myself. So enjoy, everyone. Let's get this party started. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Ashley Allen.
And we are recording.
We're recording. Oh, my gosh.
We're here. It's all happening.
It's all happening.
Ashley, first question. How are you doing in this global pandemic?
I think I'm doing like decently well. Mm-hmm. That's the hard, like, people are like, how are you? And I'm like, I'm okay.
Right.
My anxiety is definitely through the roof right now, which is annoying, but I'm just trying to like get a schedule and like a routine for my day. Mm-hmm. I think that's very helpful.
Definitely.
And like working out every day has really been helping me to just like stay chill and not feel so gross and
like stir crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I feel like I weirdly have worked out more during this than I did IRL, like before this all happened. But it's because if I don't move, I like fully lose my mind.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I've been running every day, which is like not on brand for me at all. But but it's nice. Like it's nice to just get outside and, you know, burn a few calories.
I love that. Are there any other coping mechanisms that you've been turning to? Any like specific like shows or movies you've been consuming?
I just started my 90-day fiance journey.
Oh, I haven't gone on that journey yet. How's it going?
It's good. There's lots of ups and downs. It's like really sad sometimes. I just like kind of need to take a break from it just because this is like people's real lives.
Yeah.
And like real, it's always just like really young girls from like terrible situations in like third world countries.
Fuck.
With like weird old guy. I don't know. It's just, but it's a very interesting. It's like amazing reality TV. If anyone is interested in it, this is like a good time, I think, to just kind of like succumb to the darkness of it a little
dive
bit.
Dive in.
Yeah. What have you been watching?
I've been watching a lot of Nancy Meyers movies. I watched Real Housewives of Potomac. I'm fully caught up on that.
Is that good? I need to start that.
Oh, it's amazing. It's so good.
Good. How many seasons of that are there?
There are four, and season five was supposed to premiere, I think it was May 3rd, but then they fucking pushed it. Yeah. But I jumped into May, or not into May, I jumped into season two. I didn't watch season one because people were like, season one's kind of them like figuring it out. But like season two, it didn't take me long to get invested in the cast. And then once that happened, it was just like nonstop thrills. And season four is like truly like perfect reality TV.
Oh, good. Oh, my gosh. Okay. I'll add that to like the top of my list.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a lot of people recommending, what is it? The Wild Whites of West Virginia. Have you heard of that docu-series or documentary? Oh,
what is that?
It's just about like full-blown hillbillies, like a family of hillbillies in West Virginia. And like, I just don't think I can do that right now. Like I tried to watch it and within 5 minutes, this guy was just like fully jumping around with his like dick flopping everywhere. And I like, literally was like, I can't do this right now or ever.
Yeah, that seems like a lot.
It was a lot to handle just given the state of the world. I just like couldn't really, it was like too much.
Yeah, fair enough.
Wait, what I want to ask you. Oh, also, we both succumbed to a candle journey.
We did. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Yeah, we did. I just ordered. Right now, I'm burning a Big Sur candle from Florist Lane. It's like an indie candle company. It's really nice. But I have some boy smells on the way.
Oh.
And I'm so excited.
I was between boy smell. I was going to get boy smells. We were talking about this. I was like gung-ho on boy smells. And then my friend Logan was like, no, you should get candles from this company called like, it's spelled like Faith, but instead of an A, it's a V.
Love.
And I don't know.
Did you order some?
I ordered two and I've never gotten fancy candles in my life. Like I would say the fanciest candle I've gotten is like a Voluspa. But then Even then I get like the tiny, tiny, like $10 ones at Anthropology.
Totally.
And I was like, I want a full size. I want two nice, like full size candles. And so I compared and contrasted, like which. Even when I finally got myself fancy candles, I was like, which one's going to be a better deal? And between the two brands, the Faith or FVITH website was like $3 less. And I was like, thus my decision is made. But I'm gonna like Good. Go on a boy smells journey at some point.
Yeah, we can compare notes once we get our fancy candles and we can see. Totally. It's very personal though. I feel like candles are just like, it's a very personal journey and like everyone just has very different tastes, I guess. And like what smells good. Like some of the fancy candles I'm not a fan of, but it's very personal.
Well, I also feel like I should say before we like jump into Bravo that you and I became friends at work. And I think our friendship was like truly taking flight, like right before this happened.
Yeah.
But we both bonded, like our friendship began through a mutual love for Vanderpump Rules and Sexy Unique podcast and Babe. So if you hear us using like Laura Marie Shane Hall's type terms, like journey, soothed, wellness check, all those phrases, like it's weird that I'm like friends with her at this point through potting because I was like a fan first and so much of the shit that she says is like deeply ingrained in my lexicon.
It's like in our vocabulary.
Yeah.
We talk to each other.
Yeah.
And I have to like stop myself from using it with other people because they're probably like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. We were texting each other being like, oh my God, I'm babing out. I'm on a live, laugh, spend journey. And I'm like, this is like all Lara. And I'm creepy. Like I plug her like very often on my podcast, but I have to.
She's the queen. She's our queen.
She is. And I feel like she's really handling quarantine in a really chic way that like I would love to emulate.
Agreed. I really want a little dog.
Oh, you could thrive with like a Tony type dog.
I know. I want one. I've been looking. It's a big commitment and I'm scared to take that plunge, but I've been checking every day online.
Are you allowed to have one in your building?
No.
You just hide it.
No. So that's a roadblock, but if it's meant to be, it's meant to be.
Totally. Don't you kind of feel like at this point, I'm like, everything's a construct. Like time is a construct. Money is a construct. Like who even gives a shit anymore if a dog's allowed in your building? Like,
yeah, exactly. I'm like, who's even going to know? Like it's.
Yeah. Do you remember that song that Lala Kent sang that was like, tell me what it's for. Well, I don't want to do this anymore. It's a song like applicable to right now.
Absolutely. Wait, have you gotten into Playboy Bunny?
Yes. Okay. So I said on my podcast that it was a bootleg Fergie impression and you originated that phrase. Yeah. And how often have you listened to it at this point?
I mean, it's a really good, like, just like high energy, like workout song. I've probably listened to it, I want to say 15 to 20 times, maybe.
Yeah.
It's good though. It's like kind of catchy. I don't know. I'm probably biased just because I'm like such a James Kennedy fan. But yeah, it's like a catchy little tune.
Yeah, it's a good one. I want to ask you also, how's your TikTok journey going?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I'm still learning. I'm a TikTok baby, but I've been like, you're so right. It's a way to just waste days.
Days of your life.
Yeah, I will just sit here on my couch looking at my phone for like unreasonable amounts of time. And I'm like, what am I even watching? But it's so entertaining.
I know. Has the algorithm like learned anything about you yet?
It's showing me a lot of like food content, which I like, but I don't think it's quite got me figured out yet.
Totally. Yeah, mine like showed me food because I've been updating my listeners every week on like how my TikTok journey is going. And my algorithm's gotten specific enough that it's like things you should get at Trader Joe's, recipes, at-home workouts.
Perfect.
Like videos making fun of Disney Channel original movies and Gossip Girl. But I'm like, but the thing that the algorithm hasn't figured out yet is that like I don't want to see hot 18-year-olds literally at all. Like don't ever show them to me. And also the Kardashian dub videos, like enough.
Yeah, agreed. Funny. Yeah. I don't need the hot girls either. Like that's just
Daisy Keach. We have to touch on her. We have to touch on her because she is like the downfall of like, I don't know, humanity, in my opinion.
Her Instagram, it just makes me sad. It just makes me sad. Like, and I don't know her. Like, I don't want to speculate on what she's like. But it's just, I just get worried about like all the young girls that look up to girls like that with like posting those crazy edited bodies that have had plastic surgery.
Oh my God.
Like, I'm old enough to know that that's fake, but I just get worried about young girls who don't know necessarily and are like growing up in the Kardashian era.
Yes.
You know?
Oh my God. I truly also like, okay, first of all those girls look like they were built in a lab. Like they're all friends and they all look exactly the same, which is so creepy.
It's like they all go to the same plastic surgeon.
Yeah.
For this to look like each other.
Well, and that's what's sad is I'm like, these bodies and these faces are like in style now. Like everyone looks the same now, but I'm like, surely at some point this won't be in style anymore. And you're all just going to age terribly because you fully redid your face at the age of like 12.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't grow into yourself either until you're like in your 20s. So when you're getting all this plastic surgery when you're like 18 years old, that makes me nervous for what you're going to look like, even when you're just 30.
I know. Even when you're like a sensible, like 30 years old. Also, you asked a really valid question, which is who gave all these TikTokers a house?
I know.
What the fuck was that?
Everyone has like a giant house in like Pacific Palisades or just like really bougie neighborhoods across America.
I don't know what sick person was like, let's plop a bunch of like hot 18-year-old TikTokers in a house and just like see what happens. Are they like trying to get them to like procreate and then make like new TikTokers? Like,
oh God.
Oh, I do want to tell you though. I know, right? The silver lining to this is I was texting my 14-year-old sister today about TikTok because like, you know, I like to pick her brain on it because she's 14.
Right.
And I was talking to her about Daisy Keach because I'm like I'm like weirdly obsessed with Daisy Keach. I'm like fascinated by her existence. And my little sister was like, I just think it's like a ridiculous standard for people to compare themselves to. Yeah, your jaw just dropped.
Good.
She literally was like, she's like, you know, if you like get like, if you feel good about yourself through like working out, like that's an accomplishment. I just can't imagine like writing a check to a doctor and like having them do all this stuff for you. Like it feels so much better to like accomplish a goal and like know that you actually did it.
Oh my God. I love your sister. She's so smart.
I know. I was like, you're 14 years old. If I were 14 years old right now, I would like literally be like psychotic.
Yeah.
I already am.
Like, I know. I'd be like saving up money to get like Kylie Jenner look like plastic surgery.
Yeah. To get like lips and a butt.
Yeah.
Please. Like to get like stomach fat sucked out and injected into my ass.
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm ready. Like,
give me the procedures.
Fat transfer, honestly, if I was going to have any plastic surgery, that's what I want.
Just put it all in my butt.
Yeah.
Wait, also I wanted to ask you too. How do you feel about Zoom calls? Like, what's your stance on them?
I am like kind of a Zoom call virgin. Like I haven't really been in like a group Zoom situation.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
I've heard like secondhand stories from my siblings who are in college right now. My brother is telling me about how people are like hacking into Zoom calls, which I think is really interesting.
The fuck?
And just like saying really obscene shit or just like screaming or like, it's just like the TikTok generation. I don't know, but I just
thought that's my quarantine mood is hacking into a Zoom call and screaming into the void.
Yeah. I'm like, there's something kind of nice about that. You're just anonymous. You can scream your truth.
Totally. I just think that Zoom calls by and large are like a true hellscape. Like I think they're the worst invention of all time. I can like, and usually once I'm on them, first of all, there's like a cap. Like if it's more than like two or three other people, like I really want to die. And then like usually once I'm on them, like I end up having fun, but like the like gathering of the energy to be like, okay, I'm going to like be on now and like talk to people and like try and like be cheerful when like everyone feels so different during all this, like literally minute to minute. It's just like, right. I'm not the person who's going to be soothed by being like, let me just like cram my schedule with like a million Zoom calls with like all my friends and family. Like it's too much.
No, I know people are doing like Zoom happy hours every night. And just like, I just feel like I would sit there silently and not say anything. It just seems like a real fight for attention when like 10 different people are on a Zoom call.
It's exhausting. I'm more of the belief that you should just like get a little drunk and then like drunk FaceTime your friends and then just like see if they answer.
Absolutely.
And if they don't,
it's more organic. Yeah.
Have you heard of the Marco Polo app?
No.
It's this app that like I did not give a shit about until quarantine started, but I like it because it's like you can invite like however many friends to have like a Marco Polo together, and it's basically like you just send videos whenever the fuck you want. So it's kind of like a group chat, but instead of like a group chat, it's just like you send videos and you watch them and you watch them and you respond when you want to respond.
I like that. That sounds kind of fun.
It's way less pressure than like a Zoom call because it's not in real time. So you can like, I'll like go off of it for like 5 days and then I'll log back on and be like, hey guys.
Fun.
Yeah, it's really fun. Do you have any other quarantine thoughts or corona thoughts? Just like life thoughts, anything?
I'm just over it. Like, I'm really just over it. Mm-hmm. I have been feeling better this week, though. It's like the mood swings are just insane.
I know.
I've been starting to feel a little more optimistic this week. So, like, fingers crossed that holds. But it's just it's a crazy time. This is a very crazy time.
As Vanessa Hudgens once said, it's a crazy time.
It's a crazy time. Psychotic.
Manic. No, I'm feeling good this week too, but it is so weird how like you'll like go a period of days being like, I feel like fully unhinged, and then you'll be like, oh, I'm fine.
Yeah. And like, I'm normally a very like even-keeled person with my emotions, but I have like turned into like a totally new person because of this, which I assume everyone else is feeling the same way.
Totally. Well, did I tell you how like the first leg of quarantine, I was like, you know, I'm just going to like kind of like live my bliss, try and make the most of this, kind of pretend like I'm on vacation and just like drink a lot. And now this second leg, I'm on this like wellness kick where I'm like, I need to eat better. I want to try and meditate. We were talking about like manifestation exercises.
Yeah.
And so now I'm on like that track and I hope that it sticks, but we'll see.
That's so good. It will. Yeah. And if it doesn't, that's okay too. Like, I think just it's important to not put pressure on yourself during this time.
100%.
Which is easier said than done.
It's so fucking hard. I'm over it too. And I look forward to the day when we can be drunk on a patio together, like gossiping IRL, like the good old days.
I yearn for it.
Should we reveal to the listeners that the last time we actually were able to go out was the Sub Live show?
The last restaurant I dined in Los Angeles before the city shut down is Pump. What does that say about me? What does that say about my life?
It's like, God, I can't think of a better last meal in a restaurant than like some like Pump rock shrimp on happy hour. Frozen Orida fries that were like $15.
Yeah. The cocktails are pretty good though. Like that Pump and Glory. I would get that again.
I love the pumpkin glory. I love that little like sprinkle of black pepper on top.
Yeah, so good. But yeah, the food. I mean, I'm glad that that was my last evening out in a way, just because it was like a fun girls' night out with friends.
Totally.
But it's also just embarrassing for me. Like, I think I have somewhat good taste in restaurants, and that's like a very embarrassing truth.
Yeah, totally. I know, same. But it's worth it. I remember when I would like visit LA before I lived here, I'd be like, I'm going to Sir. And I thought it was like a chic thing to do. And now I'm like, babe.
You live, you learn.
You live and you fucking learn. Okay, should we get into VPR, speaking of pump?
Yes, God, please.
Okay, how have you been feeling about the season thus far?
I'm like really struggling with it, which is, it's a real like existential crisis for me, because Vanderpump Rules like is my everything. It's my comfort food. Like, it just, I like put it on at night to just like soothe me, which maybe that says something about me that
I do it too.
Soothe me. But so this season has just been, I don't know. I feel like they're too famous now in a way, or they think they're too famous.
Yes.
Whereas like the OG cast is just, they seem so like guarded and nothing seems organic with them anymore.
Yeah.
I think they're just kind of on this like fame power trip, which will not last.
I know. Well, I agree. It's like they want to be taken seriously. And it's like, you've gotten this far because none of us take you seriously.
Exactly.
So like, why start now?
Yeah.
Like, be Sheena, like lean in.
Right. Like, you're not, most of them are not giving us anything interesting. Right.
Do you have a favorite newbie?
I'm really into Charlie and Danica.
I know. I really like Dana on a personal level, but as far as just like iconic, messy Vanderpump Rules people, like Charlie and Danica have that like season one energy that I like really need.
Yeah. I'm sure Dana is like an awesome person and she seems funny, but like she's just not quite translating right on reality TV. And that might just be because she's like, she's up here, they're down here.
She like has her shit together.
Yeah. She seems smart and like capable in a way that is great for her personally, but doesn't necessarily work for Vanderpump Rules.
And I'm also like, I don't want you to date Brett.
No,
like,
fuck no.
Brett's like a trash can.
Yeah.
Wait, remember when we saw him at Sir and we were both like, why are we attracted to Brett right now?
So fucking hot in person.
Fucked up. He was fucked up. Which, he was in a like, saggy beanie.
Oh God, I loved it. He looked so good. We were both just like drooling,
struck by his beauty.
And like watching him on the show, I'm not attracted to him at all.
No.
Maybe we just saw him from afar, and we're like,
I don't know. There was something going on there. And I was like, I'm not, I feel like I don't know myself at all. Like I had like an out of body experience being like, who's that girl?
Yeah.
where did you stand on the proposal with Stassi and Beau?
I'm like really having a hard time with Stassi this season, which sucks because she was my queen, like seasons one and two.
Yeah.
Queen. But
we're both previous Stassi apologists. Like I was a full blown Khaleesi. I come by it honestly. Like if you dig into the deep recesses of my Twitter, it's like Stassi. It's like me tweeting her every 2 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, it's embarrassing. Like, I don't know if it's because I like kind of relate to her in some way. She's just like a basic white girl, and like that's kind of my truth too. So maybe that's why I loved her so much. But it's, I don't know. The proposal, I was trying to figure out if she like knew that was coming. Part of me thinks yes, but then part of me was like, would she have worn that outfit? Or like, I don't know. I was struggling with the outfit.
I was struggling with the shorts primarily. They looked like a diaper.
Yeah. The top was okay, but it just didn't work. So I don't know. That was like my one clue that maybe she was surprised. But probably not.
Like, I know. I know that I like to think she was surprised too, because I appreciated how she just kept saying, shut the fuck up, shut the fuck up.
Right.
While he was proposing. But Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I like actually was like touched and like jealous in this moment. I was like, oh wow, this is really sweet, and her ring is really pretty.
The ring is beautiful, and it was sweet. Like, she genuinely looked so happy throughout the whole episode.
Yeah.
Like, at the party, she was just beaming, and like, I worry about the potential of their relationship, but like, I was happy for her.
I know.
She got what she wanted.
Totally. I mean, also, though, did you have any thoughts? I was having thoughts about, like, this proposal has such a large, like, margin for error. Like, you're stuffing your family heirloom in this, like, TBD little urn.
Yeah.
And sticking it just in public, like, on the lawn.
That was very concerning.
I was like, if I had just was, like, walking through the cemetery, I would have noticed it. Yeah. And been like, oh, this is so pretty. Mine now, finders keepers.
You're like a vintage Tiffany ring. Yeah. Yeah, it's, I don't know. It seemed like more stress than it was worth on Beau's part.
Like, I wish he had just been like, I'm proposing to you. I just want it to be a surprise, so don't fucking ask me about it. But like, he tortured her.
I know, for months.
Months.
That's, yeah, that's not okay. Like, yeah, there was a way to like maturely handle that, and I feel like neither of them did.
No, I think Beau has like a dark, seedy underbelly. And I think the choice to like torture your girlfriend for like months and like get her friends to torture her too, just for like a surprise, like reveals that dark, seedy underbelly.
He really kind of scares me in a way. And like,
yeah,
my just like womanly instincts that like a man is bad news go crazy whenever he's on the screen.
Totally.
Like, he scares me a little bit. And I think like, it's just because he's so like, I'm a nice guy and like, I'm funny. Mm-mm. Like, Jax is a terrifying human being, but at least he's a little more honest about like being a terrifying human being.
He doesn't hide behind like pretending to be on the improv team all the time.
Right.
When Beau at the engagement party was like, I'm engaged. I was like, I had like a physical reaction. I was like, I hate guys who do improv more than like most humans on this entire planet. And I was just like, you're not funny. Like, I'm not buying what you're selling ever.
I just get secondhand embarrassment whenever I see him.
And then when Stassi was like, we have so much to look forward to, that like made my heart drop a little. Cause I was like, COVID, like trolling your wedding. Like, it made me so sad because honestly, like, selfishly, I wanted to see pictures from the wedding. I wanted to see her wedding OOTD. Like, I was excited to creepily watch this wedding unfold. And now it's like, when is it going to happen? Is it going to happen? What's going on?
Italy seems like a bad choice.
It's not what you want.
There's no way she could have known, but it's like,
no, I know. It sucks.
I wonder if Stassi thinks Beau is funny or if like secretly she's kind of not feeling it. You know what I mean?
I wonder if secretly she's like, I laugh at his jokes. Like, he's funny enough that like I laugh, but like I know I'm funnier than him and like smarter than him.
Because I like think Stassi genuinely is funny. Mm-hmm. Like, she says a lot of cringy things and she says a lot of things that aren't funny. But I feel like she does have a sense of humor that's really solid.
Yeah.
But Beau is like, I'm the funny one. I just wonder how she secretly feels about it.
I don't like goofy humor like that. I don't want like, I don't like a goofball. I want like, oh, like a really witty person that's going to like cut with their words. And that's why like, yeah, I've like authentically like lolled at Stassi's jokes before. But with Beau, I'm like, I don't want your like physical comedy in like a dinosaur suit.
Especially when you're like a 40-year-old man.
40 years old.
Or however old he is.
Like, 40 is the new 30, but like he acts like a frat boy. Like, get a grip.
Right.
When Jax and Brittany somehow made this episode about their wedding, I truly nearly like flung my body into the street.
Brittany's little like demon came out.
Yes.
We only see it every once in a while, but we saw it when she was like, how did you guys get Lisa to let you have your party here? And you could tell she was just like seething with jealousy.
I know. I've said that people are always like, Brittany is so sweet. I'm like, no, she's like very calculated, very selfish, really wants to be famous. Like, it's like to marry someone like Jax, you have to like kind of meet him on those things, on those like character traits, like meet him in the middle. And so when she was like, I wouldn't have been mad if my engagement party was at Lisa's. I was just like, shut the fuck up. Your wedding is over. And then Jax, when he was like, welcome to the club, Beau, I was like, fuck off.
Yeah.
And also, like, no one ever calls out Brittany or Jax on anything. And I'm like, I feel like if anyone else had made this about their wedding, like to Stassi's face, she would have been so pissed. So I'm like, we know this isn't going to come up at the reunion, but like, I wish it would. Like, I wish Stassi would be like, hey, why did you have to make my day about you guys? It's not.
Yeah. I wonder how the cast like really feels about Jax and Brittany, because in a way they kind of have to be on the show just because Jax is, I mean, love him or hate him, he's kind of the star of the show in a weird way. At least he was
number one guy in the group.
Yeah. As much as I fucking hate Jax. Like, don't get that twisted, but I think he's kind of necessary to the group dynamic in a way, but they are so annoying. And it seems like Tom Schwartz is the only one who genuinely enjoys being around Jax.
Yeah. Yeah, like truly thinks that he's just like a great person still.
Yeah.
But I think that's because Schwartz is just as bad as Jax. He's just more covert about it, which is even more like sinister in my opinion.
Yeah.
Insidious. And I think that's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah. That sounds right.
I'm just naming horror movies sinister, insidious.
I just want to know like what dirt Jax has on Tom Schwartz, because you know there's like so much crazy shit that Jax knows about him.
Sure, for Schwartz to like protect him and defend him the way he does. And then even, do you remember that really dark episode? It was like season 6 premiere when we found out that Jax fucked Faith in an old lady's bed, and Schwartz was like, Brittany, I would tell you the truth. I mean, honestly, if I knew that he did it, I probably would lie for him.
But
like,
yeah.
Truth. And Brittany's like, okay, well, what does that even mean then? Like, she was like, how does that do me any good? And so it's like, bro.
She's like, I can't trust a damn word you say.
Yeah. Also, this is really fucked up of me, but you know, like we've talked about how I find Lala to be like truly insufferable now.
Yeah, it's bad.
And this episode when she hung up on our queen, Kristen Doty, like really didn't help.
Not at all. She was so mean.
She's so smug. That's the only word I can ever use to describe her.
Yeah.
Because I think it's all encompassing as far as just who Lala's become. But like, I want to ask you as my friend, like on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being like a Care Bear, 10 being like Ted Bundy, how evil is it of me that I'm like comforted by the fact that Lala and Rand had to postpone their wedding because of Corona?
Honestly, I think it's the justice that was served and they deserved it.
That's how I feel. I'm like, Lala, you had to be taken down a peg because you had the audacity to be like, God's not going to give me Corona. God's not going to ruin my wedding. I was like, fuck you.
They are out of control. They're like traveling every week. I actually stopped following Lala 2 weeks ago, which was like a big move for me.
How did that feel?
I was a Lala lover. Like, I loved her when she was first on. But yeah, they've been like going on trips every weekend, and just like, I don't know, their Corona response is not good. So I was comforted by the fact that their wedding was canceled.
I was just like, do you guys like believe in what's happening? Like on this global scale? I just can't.
I guess they don't.
I mean, them and Kristen Cavallari and Justin Anderson should have like a bowling league of just like celebrities who don't give a fuck about Corona. And then Kristen Cavallari's like, guess what, guys? I'm getting a divorce. I'm like, do we think that was like carefully timed to garner sympathy? Because everyone was like, what the fuck are you doing right now?
Yeah, that was really bizarre. Like that whole announcement was really bizarre. Just like the photo she chose to post. And like, it seemed like she left a lot out. And we need to know more.
I have questions and I want answers.
Hopefully you'll get them.
I know. And it's sad because, again, I used to love Kristen Cavallari, too. Like, I like these, like, outspoken, like, loudmouth women on my reality shows. I'm like, yes, be yourself, lean in, live your bliss. And then it's like they get fame and money, and then they just become, like, nightmare people, and it makes me sad.
Yeah, it's really sad. Oh. I mean, I feel like Lala is just gunning for a spot on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
I want that for her.
Yeah, she might actually fit in there better,
because I need are. I've said this before and I'll say it again, I need like Erica Jane and now Garcelle and like just like these like queens of women with so much fucking money to like rip her apart. Like I need them to like put her in her place and be like, honey, stop.
Absolutely.
Calm down.
Like, you know, you've got a ways to go, Lala.
Yeah, totally. Were you happy that we got a little bit of DJ James Kennedy this week?
I'm always happy when I get my king, DJ James Kennedy. I loved his baseball outfit. I thought he was really rocking that. I actually thought the conversation with Katie was like kind of sweet and genuine on both of their parts.
Yes.
Which is weird because Katie doesn't seem genuine very often.
I liked Katie this week.
Me too. I thought that was like a really mature conversation.
Yeah. And I liked how her whole energy at the softball game was just like, I just want to like eat nuts and like sit on the side. Like, this is boring and stupid and I don't want to do it. Like, that's how I feel about sports and like that, organized activities.
Absolutely. If my husband like forced me to play softball, I would have an attitude about it too.
Yeah. Well, like all the like hot sir girls who are like 21 years older and like booty shorts and crop tops, I'd be like, fuck this shit. I want to go.
Absolutely.
Go take a nap.
I loved Sheena's softball skills.
Yes. I love that too. Even with her nails.
Yeah.
Even with her fucking nails. Also, I'm like fully jumping around here because my notes are like kind of all over the place. Sorry. Also, what did you think of Raquel having like her little moment where Jax wanted to trade her and then she leaped to first base?
Like a gazelle.
Yes. She's like, what a deck. I love how the editors are like letting her like have like, I don't even want to say a redemption arc, but like she gets these like cute, funny little moments.
Yeah. She's getting a good edit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like there's so much more she could give us, and we're definitely not getting enough of Raquel. Mm. But everything we get is gold.
It's good as gold. Also, how did you feel about like Dana being like, Brett is a man and Max is not a man?
Disagree.
I know. Did you see that Shishu trolled Dana on Twitter for body shaming Max?
Oh my god, no. I love that.
She's like, body shaming is not okay for men or women. And I've been on both sides of this, and I just want to say, Max, like, if you want a hug, like, let me know.
Oh, good job, Sheena.
Shishu.
She's so sweet.
Shishu and Dana, their tension rages on. Also, like, I'm like, A of all, I don't think Brett is a man any more than Max is a man.
No, they're equals in my eyes. Like,
yeah,
they're both just fuckboys in their 20s, like living in West Hollywood. I don't see how one is above the other.
Yeah. And also they both like tweeted a lot of fucked up shit.
Yeah, they're both like monsters.
Not good people. But also, did you notice this trope now between Dana and Brett where they just always exchange like very like eighth grade boy jokes where it's like, that's what she said. Like, you're going to run all my bases. Like they resort to this like very junior high like flirting that I find really like fascinating to watch. And I'm like, Dana, you're funnier. Like, you're smarter than the jokes you're making to Brett. Like, you don't need to stoop to his level because he's like a dum-dum.
Absolutely. I think she would probably be way funnier just having like a normal conversation with anyone. And like, who knows about Brett's sense of humor. But yeah, that whole relationship is very confusing to me.
Yeah.
It seems very producer driven.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I don't trust it.
I don't trust it. And like, I don't need it.
No, I don't need it at all.
Because I don't really care for Brett. So it's like, I like Dana, but I'm not like rooting for Dana to date Brett because I don't like Brett or Max, frankly. But at least her and Max, I think, have like a shred of chemistry that's like entertaining.
I agree. And I actually like, I don't know if I'm just like more attracted to Max, which is like.
I am for sure, which is.
I think he's hotter. I bet. I haven't seen him in person. So.
True.
I didn't think we liked Brett.
Also, like, I'm not proud of us for saying out loud that we're attracted to Max, but, like, it is what it is.
No, I mean, I'm not proud of it at all, but, like...
Yeah, but, like, given the choice between the two...
He's hot. I'm sorry. Yeah. He's, like, a very specific type of LA guy.
Douchebag. Like,
yes.
Yeah. Monster.
Yeah.
Restaurant manager. Okay, let's... I want to end our VPR conversation by talking about the Dodie of it all.
Okay.
Because I, to me, was like deeply triggered by this whole like engagement party situation. I kind of just want to know like where you stand on the fight between them and like the engagement party, etc.
So, okay. I love Kristen as a TV character. Like, there's no one better as a reality TV star. Mm-hmm. She's given us so much. I don't doubt that she's a difficult person to be friends with. So, like, I can't say that I'm 100% team Doty. And, like, I'm sure that there's a lot of stuff that we haven't seen. And, I mean, again, I think the Witches of WeHo, they're probably all really difficult.
Yeah.
I do think they're being mean to Kristen. I think it was sad that she wasn't invited to the engagement party. Mm-hmm. I felt her pain.
When Lala called her, it, like, kicked me in the gut. I was like, no. And then Lala being like, okay, well, I just wanted to see how you were doing. Have a nice night. And, like, hung up. I was like, oh, this is, like, junior high when you're, like, not invited to the sleepover.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I would hope that if I had a friend like that who had been in my life for so long, I don't know. I would just hope that we would be able to, like, at least put those things aside just for a party, you know?
Yeah.
Like, just to celebrate that moment. At the same time, like, it's Stassi's prerogative, like, whatever, you know? If
I know.
I think Doty has grown a lot. And so maybe she's just outgrown Stassi and Katie.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's hard because my organic impulse is to defend Doty because she's always the underdog. She's never invited to anything. Like, no matter how much she, like, scrapes her way through life, no one seems to ever fully accept her, like, ever. Yes, and that's totally. Like, that sucks. And it makes me feel really bad for her. And I just want her to be, like, a happy human. But also, like you said, I can imagine why she'd be hard to be friends with. And also, if I were, like, okay, here's, I think what's fucked up is, like, Stassi and Katie didn't communicate with her. And also, because I'm a hard-hitting journalist, I listened to Stassi's podcast last week, and her and Katie gave, like, their side of the fight.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically owned that, like, they didn't communicate with her. Like, Stassi was like, it was fucked up of me. I just sort of, like, dropped her out of my life. I didn't explain to her why I wanted a break, but I also just, like, was having such a hard time, like, getting, like, communicating with her and, like, getting through to her, because I guess Kristen had said, like, she said to them privately, I think, like, I want to be more open about my relationship with Carter this season. So, like, bring it up on camera. Like, I want to be held accountable. I want to be open about it. And then they tried to bring it up on camera, and then she would, like, flip out and be like, and, like, make them out to be these just, like, bitches setting her up. And they're like, what the fuck? We, like, you asked us to talk about this with you on camera. So, like, don't, like, gaslight us and make us look like crazy assholes for, like, wanting to talk about Carter. And then I can also understand why, like, Kristen, for, like, apparently because of the podcast, I know this, again, journalist, they were like, she was, like, having a hard time with Carter for, like, 2 years. And they were just like, it got really, really exhausting because she just expected us to, like, drop everything and, like, give her advice. And then she never took any of it. And so it's like, to spend all that time trying to support her with the Carter stuff, trying to help her make a decision, and then for her to be like, no, we're broken up. And then to receive that asshole text from Carter on the day of your engagement, like, fuck that. Like,
yeah.
And then when Kristen was like, I swooned, I was like, Kristen, get a grip. Like, no. If he really cared about you, he wouldn't want to make waves with these girls that you claim you want to try and, like, rekindle a friendship with.
Yeah, I was just like, Carter, shut the fuck up. Like, what? Like, why are you involved in this at all?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's sad. Like you said, I always want to defend Kristen, too. I think it's just, like, a messy situation, and both parties are at fault. Mm. And they probably could work it out if they wanted to, but it seems like Stassi and Katie really don't care.
I don't think they should work it out. I think they should just, like, move on.
Yeah. I really want Kristen to, like, meet a guy who's maybe, like, a little bit older, like, appreciates her, pays for everything. Like, I just want her to get into a new dynamic because she just seems to repeat herself with these, like, man boys that she dates.
Yeah.
Or just go on, like, a solo journey and just, like, adopt a kid or something. Like, I don't know. I just
love that. Like, a full, like, I want to say, like, Connie Britton journey.
Yes.
Did she adopt a kid? Am I making that up?
I don't know. It sounds right.
I'm going to edit that out if I'm wrong.
I was like, yes.
But no, but totally. I mean, yeah, I think the fear for her probably is, like, oh, if I'm not friends with these girls, I'm not going to be on the show. And, like, there were all those rumors about them, like, trying to phase her out or, like, demote her. But I'm like, I don't know. I feel like if she made an effort with the newbies. Like, what if she was like queen of the newbies the way Sheena was? Like, what if she, you know, like, I wish she would just lean harder into the fact that, like, okay, which is a WeHo, you guys don't want to accept me, then like, fuck off. I'm gonna go empower myself elsewhere and like secure my spot on this show. Like, she doesn't need them. She's given us so much. Without her, like, season two would not be the best season of television of all time.
Yeah, she's everything. And like, she's way more interesting than Stassi and Katie. Like, I would watch Kristen do anything. So I would be sad if she left the show, but I don't know. It also might just be better for her mental health to like divorce herself from these witches of WeHo, these fools.
Succubuses. Yeah, succubi. Do you want to get into Beverly Hills?
Yes.
Okay. What's your relationship to Beverly Hills? How are you feeling about this new season? Let's start there.
Okay. Real Housewives of Beverly Hills was like the first Housewives franchise I got into. The first one I ever watched. I love it. Love it. Those first few seasons are so just like,
perfect.
Chef's kiss. Love. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for this season. Mm-hmm. I really liked Denise Richards last season, but I feel like she's turned completely and it's really weird.
It's like, sad.
Yeah. She was so cool. Like, she was just like really natural and wears her like jeans and flip flops. And she has a like hot husband who she just has sex with all the time. And like,
and those big yak.
Those sweet kids. Like, she just seems to have everything. But I don't know what's going on this season with her. I mean, obviously, we'll get there. the teaser for this season just like sent chills down my spine.
Well, and after this week, I'm like, I don't know how much of that even had to do with Brandy and how much of that had to do with like Charlie and Aaron and whatever the fuck else. I mean, I guessed it on a podcast called Bravo Happy Hour. And Megan, who hosts it, like, knows so much Bravo tea. She's, like, so well-read on all this stuff. And she, I think, like, read somewhere that it's not going to be as much about Brandy as they're leading us to believe. And so I'm interested to see.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me that Bravo's, like, trying to reel us in. Yeah, and misleading us. Yeah, but then I was thinking about it, too. Like, as cool and, like, fun as she seemed last season, this is a woman who is married to Charlie Sheen. So, like,
it's a really good point.
There's got to be something a little crazy going on there.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
So, I don't think we've seen the full Denise yet.
And everyone's always, like, so sweet and, like, innocent their first season. And then the second season, they, like, their true colors, like, come to the surface.
Absolutely. I'm excited to see where it goes. I love Erica's Broadway journey.
Oh my gosh. How did you feel about that singing lesson we got to witness?
I loved it. I mean, I've always been an Erica Jane fan. Like, she's so fabulous and really living the dream in a lot of ways.
Truly.
I'm just happy for her.
So am I. And I went back and forth with her because there were a couple seasons where I was like, why are you so cold all the time? Like, just like, you don't always have to be so cool and like perfect.
Yeah.
But I do feel like she's really letting her like vulnerability show this season. And so now we still get like the fun, fabulous Erica along with like a softer side that like we as like humans can identify with. And I'm really appreciative for like that part of her storyline this season.
Yeah, she is. I'm really liking this. I'm really liking her this season too.
Yeah, I'm loving Garcelle too.
Yes, yes. Garcelle is so fabulous. I want more.
Stunning. I think she's really like, she's bringing so much to the table just in her first like few episodes. And I'm just excited to see, like, I love that she's not afraid to like, as the brand new housewife, be like, fuck your retreat. I don't want to go. And I love that she's like down to show up to a dinner party in like a full blown, like fabulous, like tutu to the floor.
I love her outfits. Like, honestly, everything she wears is amazing.
Iconic. And her and Erica are like a power duo that like truly cannot be stopped.
Love them together. Yeah.
We needed this like duo.
Yes. We definitely did. How do you feel about Kyle's bangs?
I hate them. And I want to say that when she was at her own dinner party, she looked like fucking like Catherine O'Hara circa Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
In a way that I was just like not expecting and not into. Like, I say this often on my podcast, but like, I am really triggered by rich people with terrible taste. And that's just like Kyle in a nutshell. And like, I'm sorry, even though you're doing a movie where the director for some whack ass reason thinks you should have bangs, why can't you be like, okay, cool, get me a wig?
Yeah. Clip in.
Like, I will buy my clip in bit. Like, it's 2020, people.
Yeah. I mean I like always struggle with her styling, but I don't know. I'm having a hard time with these bangs.
I know. And it's like she got all this amazing work done. Like, she looks great.
She looks amazing.
But her styling is shit. And I'm like, it's just a waste because she's so beautiful.
Yeah. She's
and her,
so
like
beautiful.
Hair and clothes are bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, what are your thoughts on this like $1,860 clutch that like Sutton just like casually gifted these women? Kill me.
I'm confused. It. Yeah, it was really chic. Like, I would love that.
It looks so good on Lisa Rinna.
Yes, it did. I loved her zebra suit.
Oh my God. She came in. Okay, do you think Kyle like called the women and was like, please wear like black and white or like metallics? And then Sutton was just like, I'm gonna wear this.
I don't know. I was confused by Sutton's outfit. Yeah, they did. That's a good point.
They all match inexplicably. I have to say, I like really shit on Sutton like in these first couple episodes, but like she's great reality TV, whether you like her or not. Like, we need her.
Yeah, I am not a fan, but I appreciate her.
Yeah.
She's just like straight up mean, which
and so snobby.
Yeah, which we don't really have that on Beverly Hills. Like, everyone's kind of like fake nice with each other. So I think she'll like shake things up a little bit.
Yeah, I will say, though, even though that dress she was wearing was wild, I don't even know who the designer was. I wasn't paying that close of attention. Probably Dolce & Gabbana. I don't know. Yeah. I would totally wear that dress. I would, because I'm that extra. But I'm like, would I ruin it with a messy sock bun?
Yeah, no. The hair was really bad.
That was like how I did my hair in college. Like, to go out, if like last minute, like I would just like put my hair in a sock bun and like be on my way, but like a messy sock bun. Like, I could never do it well. And I was like, Sutton, come on. You could have like gone to a salon and gotten that done.
Her hair looked really good in that last scene, like where it was like down. She looked so beautiful.
And her bangs were really chic.
Yeah, she looked so good.
I'm like seeing her bangs. Wait, what'd you say?
I just said we should wear your hair like that all the time.
I know. It really like softened her. And like, seeing her bangs in stark contrast to Kyle's like fried, like short bangs, I was like, ooh, this is like a troll in and of itself.
I know.
How are you? Okay. What are your thoughts on Teddy? Because this is what, her third season now?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I don't really know like what she brings to the table besides being kind of like the punching bag. Which I think she kind of leans into that role too, in a way.
100%.
Which is annoying, I find.
Well, I mean, yeah, she's very, I saw a meme that was like making fun of Teddy and it was like, I just want people to be like straight up with me or like open and honest. And then it's like the second someone's open and honest, she like starts crying.
Yeah.
And I just like, I can't get a read on her. And again, like, I'm sure she's like delightful in real life. I'm sure she's like a perfectly nice lady, but like the edit she's getting is like, she seems like a truly insufferable person.
Yeah, it's really, I agree. Like, honestly, out of all those people, she's probably the one I would get along with the best. Like, just personally, she seems like pretty normal, but I don't know. I just am not loving her on the show. And I don't really know what purpose she serves other than like, Sutton's enemy quote.
Totally. it's really fucked up but really fascinating to watch Sutton just like go at her like repeatedly and just like feel nothing. Like,
she's very cold, which I love.
Very cold. Also, don't you feel like Sutton is like Tinsley Mortimer's like long lost sister?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Like that old Southern money.
Yes, that's a good call.
Yeah, I feel like Tinsley is like the messy younger one that's like, I'm going to get naked and go swimming. And then Sutton's like the well-behaved big sister that's like, that is not proper. Like, how could you do that?
They're both just like filthy rich.
Yes. Southern belles.
Amazing clothes.
Yeah. But like dress like little girls.
Yes. Yeah.
Still, exactly. Like sexy babies.
Right.
I also love Erica's disdain for Sutton. Like, she is not into her at all.
Yeah. I think Erica is really good at reading people and like she's just a straight shooter. And I think she likes who she likes and doesn't like who she doesn't like. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. And then just like draws that line in the sand and is like, okay, we're good. I understand. I got it. And
yeah.
I also love how Rinna is just fascinated with Sutton and is just like, she is really rich. Like
yeah.
every chance she gets just can't, is gawking over Sutton's like wealth.
Rinna kind of had like a normal upbringing though, right? Like I don't think she came from money. So maybe that's just like her little Oregon girl roots being like fascinated by
I love it.
Sutton.
But it's funny to me because I'm like, okay, but like Rinna, you're like very successful. Your daughters yeah. are probably about as successful as you at this point through like modeling. So I'm like, it's just funny like how fascinated she is by Sutton's wealth because I'm like, you're doing pretty good yourself. But yeah. I mean, I appreciate that too.
I think Rinna is very down to earth,
mm-hmm.
like way more than anyone else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Maybe on any housewife show ever. Like she is very successful, but she just, yeah, she doesn't take it for granted. And like, I don't know, she's crazy, but I love her. She's like great reality TV.
We need her. She made Amelia and Delilah Bell work in like a deli when they were like 15.
I love that.
I love like, that.
For like half an hour.
Right. Yeah. For like two
for the
minutes.
Show.
Just,
yeah.
just long enough to get it on camera. And then she's like, yeah. all right, just kidding.
Here's a car. Oh,
also, okay, first of all, like, we just need to acknowledge that this dinner party was, like, fully iconic. Like,
yes.
from the second it started.
It was wild.
I also love a Faye Resnick sighting. Like, to me, yeah. that's, like, a trope in this show, meaning, like, shit's gonna hit the fan. Like, when Faye Resnick is around, we get some, like, good drama.
Absolutely. She always gives really good facial expressions, too, and, like...
Yeah.
she's just kind of, like, a sounding board for all these other women.
Yes, and there was that part where, like, Teddy started crying and she delicately leans over and says, don't worry about what they're saying, like, very quietly.
I wonder if Faye wanted to be on the show or, like, I wonder if they ever approached her about it.
Right.
Or if she's just happy being a friend of Kyle Richards.
I feel like at this point she's probably just like, fuck it. I make a little bit of money. I don't really need this show. And, like, I still get to, like, go to the parties and shit.
Yeah, that's the goal, kind of.
I know. I was going to say, that's like a good spot to be in.
Yeah.
What did you think about the first impression game that Kyle started?
That was like my worst nightmare.
Same.
If someone said that at a dinner party I was at, I would be like, bye.
Yeah, I'm leaving.
That is like the worst game I've ever heard of.
I also just don't like games in general, like being imposed upon me in social situations. Oh. Like the game is like eating and drinking and talking. Like that's the game. We don't need to like yeah. add another layer of complication to this.
Like, let's say something nice about me. That's kind yeah. of like, I don't know. Yeah. It's if yeah. someone did that, I would not be happy.
No, I'd be like, can I just like eat this beautiful meal that you prepared? Like, I don't want to have to like talk and like. And also, though, like, so it's just funny how they were going around, like, being so overly nice to each other. And Mauricio's, like, stoned as fuck. And he's like, oh, my God. He's like,
wow. Black on Mauricio.
He's like, these are not the kind of girls I know. Like, making himself giggle at the end of the table.
I love that. I would want to sit next to him.
No, I know. I would love like Mauricio to just like mumble, like make fun of and like kind of like throw quiet shade in the corner. Like
yeah.
I'd love to like have him to do that with at a dinner party. Both like stoned out of our minds.
Yeah.
And not in like, I mean, he's like really hot, but not in like an I'm hitting on Mauricio kind of way. Like I just think he seems fun to party with.
Yeah.
Also because like, 2 episodes ago, we saw him at the agency party and he was like ripping shots and like having a ball. Like, I think Mauricio is just like a fun dude.
Yeah, he seems like a really fun dude. And yeah, he's hot. He loves his daughters and his yeah. wife.
Yeah.
He has a successful business. Like, he's really just killing it.
Really killing it. Also, okay, if you were playing the game and you were sitting next to Teddy, would you have just like pulled something nice out of your ass? I probably would have.
Yes, absolutely. Like, yeah. yeah, I mean, everyone else, it's like, was trying to be nice, it seems like, even though most of it was like backhanded compliments anyway.
Yeah, Erica was like, I didn't understand you, Dorit. Really didn't. And she's like, but now you're a lot more fun than people realize. And Dorit's like, thank you, Erica. And I'm like, okay.
Dorit.
Okay.
Yeah. Sutton was really like, who sat her next for like no assigned seating? it's convenient she ended up sitting next to Teddy.
Well, it was so awkward when she like suddenly marched in and was like, Kyle, I'm very uncomfortable. And she like, she's like, I knew this was going to happen. And then Kyle had to just like jam her next to Teddy. It was like, it was very awkward to begin with. And then it's like, okay, well, you guys are clearly not getting along. So like then to take this opportunity in front of like a large group of people at a dinner table to like high key insult her like multiple times as part of like a quote game is just like really evil.
Yeah. Very evil.
Also when she was like, and then pregnant, God help us. I'm like, fuck you.
Excuse you. Yeah.
And then like, so Teddy like storms out. Also, are you familiar with Justin Sylvester?
No.
Okay, so he used to be Kyle's, like, nanny, and he is now, like, friends with the family, and he was in this episode, like, next to, I believe, Sutton, and...
Okay, yeah, I was wondering who that guy was.
Yes, and he, like, was just, like, his face was just expressing everything we all felt, like,
he was giving us really good face.
Really good face. And when Aaron started talking about medicine, in quotes... Justin's face fully was like, huh? Like, it was like, the fuck? And that was when, like, I didn't think things could get more uncomfortable after Teddy, like, stomped back in and was like, oh, and then, like, sat down. But then Aaron, like, chimes in and I was like, what is even happening?
That was really unclear. Like, why are they being followed? I don't understand. Like, I don't understand what he does. I don't understand why they're so freaked out about it. Like,
yeah. Denise was like, quiet, don't say, we're being followed. I'm like, and at first I was like, are they pissing off Scientologists? Like, what does that have? I assumed it was like a Scientology journey, but then I was like, no, they're like talking about like Big Pharma.
Which is scary. Like, I understand being scared by that, but I don't know. I was very unclear on that whole situation.
I didn't know Big Pharma like literally stalked people who like tried to do like holistic medicine. And then when he said that, like, cancer was, like, your body, like, saving you, I was like, yeah, I'm going to need to take a step back here. Like, I don't know what you're saying.
Does that mean he doesn't believe in cancer? Like, I don't know. I was I want to know his hot takes on everything, but I was having a hard time understanding.
I want to know his hot takes on Corona. Like, surely there's, like, a fucking weird dinner conversation happening there.
Oh, my God, yeah.
It was just very, like, rich white man shit, like, what he was saying. I was like, this is just, like, woo-woo, and you're, like, speaking out of your ass. And, like, I definitely believe in, like, both, like, Eastern and Western medicine. Like, I believe there's, like, a sensible blending of things, and I totally believe in being open-minded. But I'm also just like, oh, man. You're not even stating a coherent thought.
Right. Out loud. And I was like, is this what happens at all of these Beverly Hills dinner parties where, like, all these rich white people sit around and, like, pretend to talk about things that they think they're really educated on and everyone, like, pretends to understand what they're saying?
Yeah, probably. And then at the end when Mauricio just goes, that was cool. I was like, that's really nice of you to say.
Good job.
Yeah. Then at the end of the episode, do you have any other thoughts on the dinner party, by the way?
No, I don't think so. It was very uncomfortable.
We needed it, though. We haven't had a dinner like that in Beverly Hills in a long time.
Yeah, and it looks like next week we're going to have a good dinner, too, with some fighting. I'm excited.
I only wish Kim Richards were there for all of these, but I know that that's kind of like a lofty, or like a tall order.
Thoughts and prayers to Kim Richards. I hope she's doing okay.
I know. I feel like Kim Richards is someone who would, like, thrive in quarantine. Like, I bet she's really enjoying it. Next week we get, like, the retreat that I guess Sutton's still going on.
I don't. I'm, like, not really looking forward to this retreat, to be honest, except for, like, the drama.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I'm still, like, not clear on what this retreat is.
I know. Or why Teddy needed all the women to come except for, like, for the sake of the reality show that they're all on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm confused.
I'm excited to meet Garcelle's kids. They look like they're going to be funny.
Me too. I want more of her. We haven't really had that much of her. Like,
yeah. We just had that one, like, house tour.
Yeah. I need more.
Also, I just want to say, we get a moment with Rena and Amelia Gray. And Amelia Gray next week looked like she could be related to Katie Maloney. Like, with, like, the, like dark, shiny hair and, like, the thick eyebrows and, like, big brown eyes. I was like, oh, my God, you look like Katie Maloney's little sister. And I'm like, that's, like, a sisterly movie I would like to see.
Yes. And like deal with their problems.
Yes. And we know that like Katie, like I want like a scripted drama where they like play sisters. And I'm like, we know that like Katie probably wanted to be an actress at some point. Like, I don't think she's ever said that, but like, I just assume. And same with Amelia Gray.
Yeah. She, you remember her like Skylight video?
Yes. Oh yeah.
She's like, I'm Katie Maloney and I'm an actress. And by that, I mean waitress.
Oh my God. Iconic. Honestly, like, same.
Iconic. Yeah. Like, who is it?
Yeah. Same here, Katie Maloney.
Yeah.
And then we get Kyle crying again, I think at that dinner you were just talking about.
Yeah, next week.
Yeah, Kyle's always crying about something.
I know.
The shoving of the tissue into the tear ducts. I'm like, enough.
How do you feel about Kyle? Just like generally.
I mean, she's a fixture on this show. Like, I don't think she can go anywhere, but I really like feel nothing towards her.
Right.
I like to troll her. I like to make fun of her bad fashion sense, but like, I don't connect with her as a viewer.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree. She seems like a really good mom and like a hands-on mom. And I like that about her. And I also like her and Mauricio's relationship.
Yeah.
Just because I find him to be so hot. But she is kind of boring though.
Like, yeah.
And you're right. I don't think she'll ever go anywhere. Because like, what else would she do?
No, this is Kyle's like baby
design fashion.
That's a loose term.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we need her, but like, I don't know, I'm happy we have like more exciting people like in her orbit.
Yeah,
Ashley, do you have any final thoughts on VPR, Beverly Hills, anything else at all? Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you for having me. This was so much fun.
So cleansing.
I love it. VPR is almost over. I noticed that this week was like episode 17.
Already?
I was like, what?
This season of VPR is like when I like order pasta from like a mediocre Italian restaurant and I still eat the whole order of pasta because I'm like waiting for it to be good.
Yeah.
And I can't accept that it's just like, even though it's like one of my favorite foods, it's just not a good order of pasta. I didn't even mean to make a pasta reference because of Vanderpump Rules, but it worked out that way.
It's not doing it for me. I mean, I'll watch the show forever. And I hope I really hope that Jax and Brittany like crash and burn because I would love to watch that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of potential there.
Yeah, a lot of potential in the cast's demise.
Yes. That's like the next chapter because they have it, they quote, have it all now.
Yeah.
So it's only a matter of time before they implode on themselves.
Yeah. The higher you go, the farther you fall. I'm sure that's like one of Kyle's Real Housewives taglines.
I'm sure.
Ashley, where can everyone find you on social media?
My Instagram is just my name, Ashley_Rose_Allen.
Yes.
And that's it.
I love it. Thank you so much for being here. You guys, give Ashley a follow. And thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, guys. Wasn't that fun? That was a blast. I had a great time. Now, let's get into Real Housewives of New York. So we open on the start of New York Fashion Week, and Sonia is planning her show, and Tinsley is practicing her walk for the Garrow Sparrow show. She's closing it out, and she's like, I have to practice my walk. And then Dale's like, that's not it. And Tinsley like fully almost shits her pants over the fact that she gets to wear a crown on the runway. And I share Tinsley's excitement over wearing a crown. And I thought the dress was like beyond. Then we see Luann at lunch with Ben, the director of her cabaret show. I love Ben. I was like soothed to see him again. And she's planning her next show, and it's going to be called Mary Fuck Kill. We see Ramona moaning her way through ab workouts. Same. It's a mood, it's a vibe. And then we see Sonia talking about her line, and she's like, you know, it's ready to wear clothes, less than $250. And she's having like a team meeting, and she asks Marco, her creative director, like, what about the models? And he's like, so about the models, we have a bunch of models, and everyone's just kind of looking at each other like, this is a real shit show. You know, as far as Sonia having a show in Fashion Week, we saw one back in 2015. And I mean, I was like, wow, we've come so far from, you know, the days of the toaster oven
and Heather, hey mama, trying to help her and then like fully just not being able to make it work because Sonia was a mess. And so I was like, wow, we've come so far. And then later on, not to jump ahead, we see that we haven't really come that far because the fashion show was like a total disaster. So then we cut to New York Fashion Week day 3 at the Garo Sparrow, I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing that wrong, fashion show. And Dale Tinsley's like getting ready backstage and Dale's like, it's been 10 years since you've been doing something like this. And I'm just happy you're doing something like this. And then I feel like to do her voice, I just pretend I'm the mom in the Notebook. I feel like I'm Joan Allen. It's been 10 years since you've been doing it's like Jessica Tandy. Anyways, Dale starts crying and Tinsley's like, mom, don't make me start crying. Mommy, please don't make me start crying because I don't want to mess up my makeup. And Dale's like, you look like yourself again. And I mean, Tinsley looked beautiful and we find out more about, you know, how she was like an it girl and it's been a while since she walked in a fashion show. So this is very exciting for her. But Tinsley is not about the sneakers and dress look. And she's like, I would have preferred heels. And I'm like, honestly, I'm with you. And then Dorinda's like, I'm not going to not support Tinsley. I mean, I know she loves these sort of Disney themed fashion shows. And I'm like, hey, Dorinda, quick question. Why are you consistently an asshole? You know, I stole that line from Bethany. Remember that dinner like a few seasons ago where she leaned over the table to her mom and she's like, I got a question. Why are you an asshole? Why are you an asshole? But truly, I don't understand these sort of Disney themed fashion shows. I thought the clothes were cool. So then, you know, Tinsley walks, she kills it. And Ramona's like, you look like a fairy godmother. And Luann's like, oh, congratulations. And then we cut to Luann getting her hair done by Loic, the hairdresser for the models who are actually in the show. So Luann, like, leave it to Luann's entitled ass to be backstage during New York Fashion Week and then just plop her ass in a chair and be like, oh, well, you have nothing else going on. You can do my hair. She's like, my friends are late, so I guess I'll get my hair done. And Loic wanted to die. Like, you could tell he was like, I want to shave her head just to teach her a lesson. But he does her hair. And I don't know why Luann's entitlement shocks me every time, but it, like, somehow always does. I was like, the audacity. In the words of Ramona Singer, the audacity. Then we see John and Dorinda having a cringy moment of many where he like wants a picture with her really badly. And Dorinda's just like so not interested. It's cringy to watch. He's like, you know, you want a picture, babe? And she's like, well, hold on. I just want a picture with you girls. And then Ramona tries to get a picture with Pamela Rowland. And, you know, Pamela Rowland is a fixture in Real Housewives of New York Fashion Week episodes dating back to like season 1, season 2. Someone's like, I want a picture with Pamela Rowland. And then this other woman is like waiting for a picture too. And so she's trying to jump in a picture with Pamela. And there's this like clusterfuck of like, who's taking the picture with Pamela. And Ramona's like, well, can I alone? Can I do it alone for the Instagram? I need to do it for the Instagram. What can I say? What can I say? So she gets like a super awkward picture with Pamela Rowland. And Pamela Rowland's just like, someone take the fucking picture with me. Then John is giving out Madame Paulette stain kits at the show, and it's revealed that Tinsley stained Ramona's duvet cover in the Hamptons. And Ramona's like, it was like a dorm room, empty cans, empty bottles. And then Tinsley walks up after the show, and Ramona like immediately talks to her. She's like, Tinsley, you really upset me the way you didn't clean it up. You trashed it. You didn't even admit to me that you stained my duvet cover. And I was like, okay, isn't the duvet cover white? So like you can literally bleach them. I'm pretty sure I've said this before, but Genevieve Gorder said on a Netflix series called Stay Here that everyone is intimidated decorating their house in white fabrics, but white fabrics are actually the way to go because you can bleach them. So I'm having a hard time speaking. I'm not even drunk, but you can bleach them. So I'm like, Ramona, chill the fuck out. Then Ramona trolls Sonia's glasses. She's like, those glasses age you. They're like sitting in the front row waiting for the show to start. And Sonia, the Pamela Rowland show. And meanwhile, Sonia's like dictating a message on her iPhone regarding her show. And she basically just like needs a fuck ton of models or something. Unclear. It was hard to follow because it was just such a mess. And then the women are like fully shitting themselves over the Pamela Rowland show. Dorinda's like, you know, we should stand. Yeah, we should stand for her. And then in Dorinda's interview, she was like, you know, I think this fashion show made Sonia realize she's not as organized for her fashion show. And she said it with such glee. I'm like, why do you love watching people fail so much? Like, what the fuck? Then the gals go to lunch after And this patio lunch made me so sad because literally all I want is a patio lunch with friends, but that's neither here nor there. So then Ramona's like, I'm going to get oysters. And then Dorinda's like, you know, the other day we went to dinner, I said, can I have an oyster? She said, no. She said, get your own. I said, it's 2 dozen oysters. And then we're shown a really disturbing clip of how Ramona eats oysters. And it's a lot of tongue work. It's a lot of like eye closing, like moaning. And Dorinda's like, I mean, she guards them like Neptune's treasure. So then everyone comes at Sonia for being on her phone. And she, by the way, she's in a different pair of glasses in this scene than she was at the fashion show. But she's on her phone, like frantically trying to organize her own fashion show. And I just want to say that the shift of glasses, like the glasses change within one scene to the next, reminds me of my Aunt Janine, who I'm literally obsessed with, who has like 75 pairs of reading glasses. So that was like, aw, sweet. I don't know what it is. Like, is there just a certain time in your life where you're like, one pair of reading glasses just simply isn't enough? Is it for accessorizing purposes? I need to know. But it reminded me of my aunt, so I liked that moment. But they're coming at her. They're like, why are you on your phone, darling? And Sonia's like, let me work. They can't do what I do. Because Ramona's like, why didn't you just get your interns to do it? And Sonia's like, they can't do what I do. I have to negotiate the prices. I get the liquor prices. I get the models who are 14. I just need to be able to do a couple of things right now so I can enjoy brunch. And they're all like, okay. So then Leah shows up and she didn't come to the fashion show. And Ramona's like, honestly, this is a very coveted invitation. And it was rude. It was rude of you not to come. And then Leah like gets a little emotional, like verklempt behind her sunglasses. And she reveals that her dad called and told her that her mom does not want to talk to her. And we find out that Leah's mom is mad at her because she started drinking again. So Ramona's like, oh, she's afraid you're going in a deep, dark place. And then Luann asks Leah how she's feeling. She's like, well, how are you feeling about it? And Leah's like, I mean, I feel okay. Like, I feel like I did it in a safe environment. And I felt fine about it. Like, I felt okay. So Leah's like not feeling bad about her choice to drink at all. And then we find out that Tinsley's like, well, you know, I just want to tell a story. And we find out that like, Tinsley and Dale got in like a tiff that morning because Dale really wanted Tinsley to have her hair straight and Tinsley wanted it to be curled. And Tinsley's just going on and on and on. Maybe this was an editing troll. I don't really know. But she's like, and my mom was just like, you look so beautiful with your hair straight. I was like, Mom, I can't do this right now. And Dorinda's like, I can't comment or I'll get in trouble. And Leah's like, it's never stopped you before. And then Dorinda does some prop work. She like takes a butter knife and she's like, I'm going to have to remove my brain with this knife. And she just does this bit with the butter knife for like a very long time, like waiting for people to laugh. Then Ramona gets a dozen oysters or clams. They drop and they're like clams. And then she's like, I got oysters. And I'm like, unclear. Ramona gets herself a bunch of something in a shell. And She didn't tell the group that she was ordering anything. She legit like only ordered for herself. And I feel like I picked up on like general manners later in life. Like, you know, I'm no Sutton from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Manners were not like really intensely impressed upon me in my upbringing. But like, why the fuck when you order like a few appetizers for the table? Like who the fuck just orders a bunch of oysters and like hoards them? So Dorinda's like, you know, it's rude of you. No, it is. It's rude of you not to order for the table. And then we see Sonia getting ready for her fashion show. So I don't really remember how that scene ended, to be honest. Like, I feel like they just got in an argument over the oysters and then it was just over. And then we see Sonia getting ready for her fashion show. And then we see Leah doing an interview for Married to the Mob. And she's like, I like being my own boss. And also I got fired from every job I ever had. And I'm like, oh my God, same. Like, it's not a coincidence that I'm trying to, you know, be my own boss at this stage in my life because working for a boss can be hard. We get a scene with Leah and Rob, her ex and baby daddy slash just like rock in her life. And Rob also is not down for Leah drinking. He's like, I mean, whatever you say, you're fooling yourself. And he's basically concerned for how her choice to drink could affect Keir, their daughter, and also her mom, because her mom is the biggest person who helps them care for Keir. Say that 5 times fast. And Leah seems like she's about to cry. She's like, and I just like, this is like really hard. But then like her face doesn't move and she never actually starts crying. And she basically just says she feels constantly judged by her mom. So I'm interested to see how this storyline with Leah and her mom continues to unfold potentially. But then we cut to Dorinda getting ready for the fashion show, Sonia's fashion show with her stylist, Luke. And Luke's like, well, how's John doing? And Dorinda's like,
You know, he never misses the opportunity to make a bad decision. He just doesn't think sometimes.
And she basically says that he sometimes makes lifestyle decisions that she doesn't like. And I immediately jumped to drugs because I thought about that episode where she had a bra party and he showed up like, hey, ladies, I'm here. And so I'm like, is that what she's referring to? But we specifically find out about an instance that recently happened where they were like, he abandoned her in the middle of a night out and people noticed that he was out without her. And Luke's like, it's disrespectful. And then she basically is like, yeah, I know. So you haven't returned his calls for 2 days. So Dorinda is like not into John anymore. And, you know, knowing what we know now, they don't end up together, I don't think. But like, I can never keep track of Dorinda and John, to be perfectly honest. But they don't, I don't think they end up together. And watching this, it's like, oh, well, I can see why. So then Sonia's arriving at her show and it's like, just, it's a shit show. She's like, Oh my God, there's a step and repeat. The other one is rolled up and in the basement. You know, let's do a selfie. Oh, you know who I look like? You know who I look like? Phyllis Diller. You know who that is? Phyllis Diller. And I was like, Sonia, I know who Phyllis Diller is. Phyllis Diller has like a very specific voice. And if you hear it, you can't unhear it. Okay, yeah, I took a quick second to Google Phyllis Diller because in my head I was picturing Carol Channing. Jam tomorrow, jam yesterday, but never ever jam today. But it wasn't Carol Channing, it was Phyllis Diller. Anyways, I digress. So Sonia's fully in a panic because like people are coming in. She's like, people are coming in now and I'm not even dressed. And she's like, and then she's screaming at her interns who are just holding like these like arbitrary stacks of paper. And she's like, what are you holding these for? Over there. I don't want you to think or ask anything. Put them all down. And it's just like a mess of paper and no one knows what the fuck is going on. And then Tins and Leah are on their way to the fashion show. And we find out that Sonia sent everyone some like Sonia by Sonia Morgan clothes to wear, but Leah was just sent some like TBD athleisure to wear to the show. And so Leah's like, I really don't like passive aggressive people, and like that's just really annoying. She's like still mad at me from the Hamptons, and like I'm not wearing this to the show. So Leah's wearing this like really fantastic dress that has Lil' Kim all over it. And then Ramona walks into Sonia's fashion show and she's just so confused about like what the fuck is even going on. She's like at the bar and she's trying to order sangria and she's like unclear. Then we see Elise, the friend with the bangs, at the show, and I'm like, why is Elise being pushed on me at all times? Like, I don't understand. Like, is she a friend of, but that, like, she's always around, but she never actually like makes enough waves to be like a major plot point. So I'm like, bravo, why? We also see Lori Cooper, friend of the pod, Dorinda's realtor, in the background looking fabulous. We love Lori Cooper. She's a queen. We celebrate her. And then I also made a note that I just feel so bad for all the bullshit that the interns had to experience, like trying to make this Sonia by Sonia Morgan show happen. And then we see John show up to the fashion show and Dorinda like didn't even know he was coming. And he's like, hey, baby, you look amazing. And Dorinda's just like fully repelled by his very existence. And then Ramona's drinking with Elise at the bar and she's like, oh, this is delicious. I love it. Vodka with sangria by Sonia Morgan. And I'm like, I love how Ramona loves vodka, but she says vodka. It's as if it's just like V-O-K-K-A. She's like, vodka with sangria. And then Dorinda like greets Tinsley and Leah and she's like, oh, I get the vibe here, a little sort of gangstery thing going on. And just watching these women navigate this little Kim dress is hilarious. And then Ramona's like, if I was Leah going to a fashion show with hundreds of people, I wouldn't wear that either. That's something to, I don't know, sleep in, walk the dog. So yeah, so Leah basically fills in all the ladies on like what Sonia expected her to wear. And Leah's a smart cookie. She's like, I'm not just going to tell you how shitty that outfit is. I'm going to physically bring the shitty outfit with me so that y'all know I'm not being dramatic and that it was fully ridiculous that she suggests that I wear this like athleisure in a floppy air quote set to this fashion show. So Dorinda's like, come on, Sonia, you knew what you were doing. I mean, I would have cut that shit up, mid-drift it, thrown on some great heels, and I would have walked right up on the runway. And I really do love that idea. I mean, that would have been a really iconic troll if like Leah was like, okay, fine, you're going to give me this outfit. I'm going to cut it up and like style it up full Carrie Bradshaw style and look fabulous. But Leah was like, no, fuck this. I'm wearing my little Kim dress. And then the show begins and the Roni music that the editors masterfully put in is just this like confused, uncertain, like dun 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 dun, like sort of like Christmas story type music. But at the actual fashion show, there was no music playing. There were no lights, no one sitting down, and the models just like start walking. And I was like, wow, it's been years since the toaster oven, as I was saying. And I was like, I truly thought she had finally done it. And then I was like, not quite. Like, this fashion show truly made Kyle Richards' fashion show on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills look like, you know, I don't know, look like a Ralph Lauren show. Like it was this chic event. I mean, it was a real mess. Sonia's show was a real mess. And then Ramona's like, Ramona's watching this show and she goes, oh, is that the purse? It looks like a diaper. But I like the pants and I like the blazer. I mean, I love the idea of wearing a purse that looks like a diaper. It would have matched Stassi's shorts from this week, those jean shorts, diaper shorts with a diaper purse. And then Leah's like, I've been in fashion for a lot of like for like a million years. And like I worked with this person and this is not a fashion show. And then the fashion show ends, if you can even call it that. And then Sonia looks at Leah's dress and she's like, oh, who is that? Beyonce or something? You know, what happened to the two piece, the cashmere? It was an L. And Leah's like, I think Leah just snaps. She's like, I think you're full of shit. And I think you're passive aggressive. And I think you're still mad at me from the Hamptons. And she flings this like shitty ripped plastic bag containing the athleisure set at Sonia. And Sonia's like, I gave you a beautiful bag. And then she says, I think she said, where are the sundresses? And I'm like, what sundresses? Unless I heard her wrong. But she claims that she gave Leah a beautiful bag. And Leah's like, the bag was ripped open. And then Sonia decides to put the pants on to make a point. She's like, okay, fine. You don't want to wear my shitty athleisure outfit? I'm going to show you how fabulous it is. So she puts the pants on under her dress, along with this pink Lady Gaga Joanne hat. Now listen, I've made a lot of Lady Gaga Joanne references recently, and we all know I'm a Lady Gaga super fan. But between like a hat that LVP wore recently and then this, I was like, what's with all the pink hats on Bravo right now? I'm unclear because they don't look that great on anyone. But Sonia is inexplicably wearing this pink hat. I don't know where the fuck it came from. She's putting the pants on under her dress. Then she like adjourns to like what looks like maybe a kitchen or something to like peel the rest of her dress off and put the top to the athleisure outfit on with no bra. And she comes out and she's like, oh, ladies, Leah. And she like shows herself off and she reveals herself in the outfit. And the ladies are like, you look terrible. And Ramona's like, oh, my God, you look terrible. And Dorina's like, terrible. No, no, no. And they're all just doing like a thumbs down, being like, you look like shit. Your outfit's shit. Everything's shit. And Leah's like, I can't even be mad at her. Like, how can I be mad at her? And Dorinda's like, you know, it's good for tonight when you get home lounging. And Leah's like, yeah, I'm going to wear it when I go home and eat a cheeseburger. And that was the end of the episode. The episode ended with a laugh. It ended with a chuckle. Next week, we see that they're going to Luann's to see Jacques. And when I heard them say that, I was like, excuse me, do you mean like the Jacques? And I was like, holy shit, holy shit. We get a Jacques appearance. He's like, you want the red wine? And they still look exactly the same, Jacques and Luann. Jacques just looks like Luann if she didn't get her hair dyed brown. I mean, the power couple to end all power couples. I want them to get back together so badly. And then we see Luann being like, I never fucked the pirate. And Dorinda being like, ah! I don't know what she's yelling at. She's just screaming into the void as we all are, you know, these days. And then Luann drinks a vodka soda. Eek! Next week's episode looks fantastic. I'm so excited to see where this season continues to go. You know, it's been really fun recapping season two on Patreon. But, you know, it's what's fun about watching season two is because season two is all about, you know, it's déclassé and etiquette and all these like all these women trying to flex how they're just like members of society. And now this show has just become people screaming, drinking, taking their clothes off, throwing shit at each other. And I just, no matter what package Roni comes in, I love it. Y'all, thank you so much for listening. This was so, so fun. I hope you're all hanging in there. Thank you so much. And we'll see you next week. Bye.